You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
Welcome back to the special panel discussion ahead of the State of the Nation address tomorrow night. And we've heard from our panelists some very interesting suggestions on how we kickstart growth. And I think in fairness to the President, I think any assessment of the progress that his administration has made or not since the last time he delivered a State of the Nation address has to acknowledge that there really wasn't much time between the 25th and the 26th addresses, sandwiched as they were between the general election. I'd like, Jeff, for you to give me your view from the Chamber's perspective on what you would like to see the President do as a tangible move to say to business that we are now a government that is on your side and would like you to help us grow the economy.
Thanks, Michael. And I speak from the perspective of small business because the Cape Chamber of Commerce and Industry represents probably 60% of its member base is small business. We did a survey at the beginning of April asking our members what are the key concerns that they have. And these were the three key concerns that they came up with: electricity supply and the poor record that we've had around Eskom delivery of electricity or energy supply has a major impact on small business. The second issue, particularly in the Western Cape, I don't know if it's the same in the rest of the country, is lack of transport infrastructure, and that's really the failure of Transnet. And the third issue was unnecessary bureaucracy, and small businesses find that there's a plethora of legislation, a plethora of compliance requirements that hamstring business. And what we'd like to see is the President deal decisively with the issue of Eskom. What plans does he have in place to deal with the massive debt that exists? How do you get experienced people, qualified people at the helm to drive that organization and ensure, at least for our economy, that we have good supply of energy, good supply of electricity, and that we deal with the PRASA issue, similar issue, again, corruption on a massive scale. It's a big concern for us as members, for our members rather. And how do we get the right people on board and not playing to the politicians, not playing to the interest that Professor Cantor spoke about in the beginning. And then thirdly, how do we get a lighter touch from government? How do we reduce the bureaucracy? How do we reduce government spending, have a smaller government? Because our position, our view is that the future of the economy lies in the hand of business. Government doesn't understand business. The policies they put in place are not business friendly. And I know that that's a controversial statement to make, but we'd like to see government get less involved, create the infrastructure, create the environment for business to thrive, for business to flourish, and let business get on with the job of creating jobs and growing the economy.
And I think to your last point, red tape affects businesses of all shape and size and description across the country. I know the transport issues and the PRASA issues are unique, particularly to the Western Cape of late, with all the train burnings. And there is an issue around whether that should be a national or provincial function. And electricity supply equally applies across the board. Kaseni, from your vantage point as chair of Massmart and Aspen, I suppose, looking at this more through the lens of big business here, what would you like to see in the President's sonar tomorrow?
Thank you very much, Michael. I agree with all the points that have been raised. The issues that come top of mind to me, which need to be addressed, is really creating an environment that is conducive to business to thrive and to prosper and to be globally competitive. What we need is to move beyond the talk and move beyond the promises, which are all good, and we've had them and they're great. We just need the President to move forward now, taking a next step forward in terms of announcing concrete and tangible measures that are going to do four things. Firstly, really elevate the issue of economic growth into a burning national strategic priority. The fact that you're an emerging market struggling to grow at 1% is really shocking. It's an indictment on all of us in business, in government, and in labor. We should be growing at least at 6%, as Professor De Zada said earlier on, in order for us to start pushing back against the frontiers of poverty and unemployment. If we look at peer emerging markets, markets in Asia and elsewhere in the world, and indeed some countries in East and West Africa, they are growing at 7%. Some are growing at north of 8%. Countries like Ethiopia at around 8.3%. Cote d'Ivoire, you're talking about 8.5%. Ghana, growing at very impressive economic growth rates. You may argue that they're growing from a low base, which is true, but also what is clear is that they're doing all the right things that are inspiring investor confidence. The second thing, again, it's linked to the issue of investor confidence. We are very good in scoring on goals and sending confusing messages to local and foreign investors. If we can have a coherent message led by the president and his administration around the policy landscape in this country, that would really help. The recent mixed messages around the status of the Reserve Bank and how it should be regulated, or whether it should be nationalized or not, coming from the ruling party or the governing party, those are very, very unhelpful messages. Those are things that cost nothing to stop. They just require the will and the commitment amongst our leaders to get their act together. The third thing is really focusing on the issue of specifically of creating jobs. There is talk of the fourth industrial revolution taking away jobs. I've just come back from the USA. The USA is a state of full employment, and they are far ahead of any country in terms of the fourth industrial revolution. What is happening is that certain jobs are being displaced in traditional sectors, but new jobs are being created elsewhere in the value chains, and new value chains are emerging. The question is, from a policy point of view, what kind of deliberate and concrete policy strategies are we implementing in order to make sure that the fourth industrial revolution is an opportunity rather than a threat? We tend to view it as a threat. I think we need to transition our paradigm to also see that while it may be a threat, but it may also be an opportunity. And actually, it's more of an opportunity than a threat in my mind. I mean, furthermore, just addressing the strength and efficacy of our state-owned enterprise. We cannot have a complete conversation about where South Africa is going without making sure that the systemically important state-owned companies such as Transnet, Eskom, and to some extent SAA and others are actually on a sound footing. And again, you look at Ethiopian Airlines, the most profitable airlines in Africa. It's also was government owned, but it doesn't rely on government subsidies. Why is it successful? It's because the government structures and the management and leadership processes are very sound and proper. And again, fixing our state-owned enterprise just requires us to go back to the basics. And lastly, it's really, again, looking at small and medium enterprises. Jeff mentioned that. And we need to look at countries such as Switzerland and Germany, which have managed to create globally competitive SMEs. Within Massmart, we have a supplier development fund through which we have created or supported 33 companies, not just to supply us in our local stores in South Africa and in Africa. We've managed to walk the journey with them to enable them to export some of their goods and products to the rest of the Walmart global supply chain. And it is possible to have small and medium enterprises that are globally competitive, that can be plugged in into the global and regional value chains of leading multinationals. And that requires deliberate strategies. And I'm pleased that the president kept the Department for Small Business Development in place as he was restructuring his cabinet.
And Kazeni, what he also did was create a new labor department, because it's now the labor and employment department. I believe we've got Swelan Zima Vavi, who's arrived with us now. Thank you for joining us, Sweli. From Labour's perspective, there's this new focus from the administration on not just labour rights, but employment as well. That does seem to indicate that the pendulum perhaps has swung too far in a market which is ranked by the World Economic Forum as being highly inflexible when it comes to labour regulations. And is it time now for Labour to come to the party and play its role in helping grow the economy? What would you like to see out of the president's sonar tomorrow?
Thank you very much for inviting us from SAFTU. To be frank with you and your listeners, we are expecting more hell to come out of the State of the Nation tomorrow. And we must situate the State of the Nation address in a particular historical context in South Africa. It's a South Africa of 38%+ unemployment rate, of 55.3% of youth unemployment, of 48.3% unemployment rate in the Eastern Cape, where I come from, is an unemployment rate of over 40% for black women, and is a country which have a poverty rate, which have a poverty rate of 55%. Other economics actually say, you know, the rate of poverty is sitting around 63%. It's a country that has become the most unequal society in the world. It's a country whose economy has stagnated and which have declined by 3.2% in the first quarter of 2019. It's an economy that have produced a few billionaires, but which have its youth completely future taken away by the drugs epidemic, by violence and drug and violence and gang wars in the townships. It's a country where 57 bodies get picked up every day in the streets because of the nature of our violent crimes. So the president must address us tomorrow in the context of those levels of crisis politically and economically. It's an economy where the rich have become more rich and the poor more poorer. And so when he speaks, will he accept that that's South Africa of today, South Africa way away from Sandton and or South Africa of Alexander, of informal settlements, of squalor, and of underdevelopment across the board? We are not expecting that the president is going to do something about that, even though he may acknowledge the extent of the deprivation of the black majority. But we don't think that is going to go full circle in accepting that the business as usual have failed and that the policies that have been tried over the past 25 years have spectacularly failed the black working class and the black people in general. And that, therefore, it is time to change track and to accept that the neo-colonial economic structure we inherited from apartheid is simply serving to reproduce poverty, unemployment, and inequalities. And to accept that our education system is not going to help us with the fourth industrial revolution, will not make us compete with our peers in our own continent, and that our health is in doldrums, is producing marijuana, according to the ombudsman. He says that there's actually marijuanas in South Africa every day all over the country. That's the state of our public education and our public healthcare system. The elite don't know that. The elite don't have their kids in Alexander, where 91% of the schools are dysfunctional. The elites don't know that what is the state of the public institutions. The elites have long contracted out of the public services, but they continue to demand more privatization, and so that they can accumulate more wealth at the expense of the poor majority. So we're not expecting a change of direction. We expect that the same track that have produced those results will continue tomorrow.
Thank you, Zweli. We have to stop it there. We've got across to Kotlehu for the day's news wrap. And when we return, I'd like you, Professor Cantor, to just respond to some of those points. Policies that have failed the black working class, indeed. So what are those new policies that will help the black working class in South Africa? As I said, let's cross now to Kotlehu for the day's news wrap.